Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Chof Gimel. We're beginning in the middle of the Daf, actually more than a little bit halfway down at the two dots. We continue to learn for the safety of all those in Eretz Yisrael, all those fighting, all of those that are trying to save lives. Yes, it's Hashem, they should be able to return the hostages as fast as possible. They should be healthy. They should be well. Yes, it's Hashem, they all should be safe. All those in need of a Refuah Shleima should have one. And all of those Nebuch that are still in mourning for their terrible korbanos, the losses that they've had, Hashem should be menachim them. And Hashem yishmor kal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah where it said, Alach Haroro Mishalim Chule. We continue to discuss the case of the dog that went into somebody's backyard and took a Haroro. He took a piece of mazonos, a cake, and it had a coal attached to it, and it went to the damage. So he has to go and obviously pay for the owner of the dog, has to go pay the full damages for the biscuit, the Haroro, the piece of cake that he ate. And he has to pay as well for the damages that he did to the pile, the omer, the godish that he burned down. And there we said he pays chatzi nezek. Now, man chayev, who actually is chayev over here? So obviously for the charara, it's the bala kelev. But now we're asking who has to pay for the omer, for this godish, for this pile of grain that was burned down. So clearly the bala kelev is the one that has to pay, the Gemara says. Man chayev, who is the one that's chayev to pay? It is the dog. As Rashi says, this goes back on the Mishnah, Mahadir Diktani ala Godish Mishalim Chatzin Ezek. That which we said, that you pay Chatzin Ezek, it's talking about the owner of the dog paying the Chatzin Ezek. But the Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, V'lechayiv nami bal gacheles. Why don't we also say that the owner of the Charara's coal, the person who had the barbecue, and he was baking this cake over here, and a coal came off with the cake, so then he should also be liable, as Rashi points out, because we just said at the end of yesterday's year that both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both hold Isho Kimamono, that Isho, his fire, is his money if it belongs to him. So the owner of this coal is considered also to be responsible for the damage that his coal caused, the burning down of this pile of grain. So therefore, v'lechayiv nami ba'gocheles. D'ho bein ma, Rashi says, u'bein ma, whether it's Rav Yochanan or whether it's with Lokish, mishum mamono, isho mishum mamono, islahu. And therefore, it should be a split responsibility. The Baal Kelev should pay a half of the half damages, and the Baal Gacheles should pay the other half of the half damages. So the Gemara says, no, Bisheshimer Gachalto. We're dealing here where there was a proper shimur, there was a proper protection of the Gacheles. In this situation, Shinol Delosos, Rashi says, Beso Yofa. He shut the doors to his house very properly and well, and the dog somehow got in, and therefore, Va'onesu. And therefore, this is considered an ones, and the Baal Gacheles isn't held liable. Now, there's a unbelievably important Tosos over here that L'chayiv Baal Gacheles, and he brings down in the middle of this Tosos, the Nira Mikan, you can see from here, that a person has a responsibility, L'dakdek D'yoser Yeshli Odom L'zor Atzmo Shelo Yazik Acherim. A person has to be more careful about his property not hurting someone else, Mishelo Yuzak, as opposed to, you should obviously try not to have your own property damaged, but you have to be more careful that your property doesn't damage someone else than your property getting damaged. Shemuchuyev lishmor gachalto min hakelev. You have an obligation here to protect your coal from a dog getting to it, even though afapish elu rishusli kodesh lebeso kidei shelo yazik acherim. Even though that dog has absolutely no right to come into the house, you have to take precautions to make sure that your coal, your property, doesn't cause damage. And therefore, the Efshor Lishmo Atzmo Kidei Shlo Yikones Kelev Kidei Lito Charoso. You have to go and take extra precautions above and beyond. He has no right to be there. Yet you have to go take extra precautions to make sure that you aren't the cause of damage to someone else. You have to be more careful about that than you even do about your own property getting damaged from someone else. Wow, what an important concept. This Tosos is used in a number of areas as well to teach us the importance of protecting your property from damaging somebody else. In any event, here we're dealing with the guy did take proper protection. Bishashimer Gachalto, he locked the door. There was no way the dog should have gotten in. where it says if he locked the door and there's no way the dog should have gotten in. So then, Iki Shishimer Gachalto, so my boy Caleb Hossam, how did the dog get there? If he locked the door properly, how did the dog get there and take the coal, take the cake? So the Gemara says, Bishechotar, it somehow dug underneath the doorway and it was able to get in through like a tunnel. It dug underneath the doorway. Tosu says, wait a second. In that situation, if he properly protected his property in Dibur Maskul, B'Shishimer Gachalto, so in Tomar Mashmiri Hizu, Kivin Shiyochol Hakel Likone Shom B'Chatorah, so wait a second. If the dog is able to tunnel under, so then that's not considered a good Shmiri just to lock the door. Because the Stam Delosos, Chaturas Hein Eitzel Hakelav, because the dog can always tunnel in, dug in under the doorway. So how is that called a proper Shmira? So Tosa says, no, that's called the proper Shmira. The Eishlam Arkivan did not ki did not treat Inche. You did what everybody normally does. They just lock the door. You can't start digging walls deep into the ground to prevent the dog from tunneling through. So therefore, lo itruchu rabbonin tvei. That is considered an acceptable Shmira, and you don't have to go and do more than that. You lock the door. That's considered good, even though the dog has the capability of getting in by tunneling under. Abba Rav Mari, Breder of Kahana. So Rav Mari, who's the son of Rav Kahana, said, Zos Ameris, you can learn from here, Stam Delosos Chaturos Hein Eitzel Kelev, that a typical door is considered normal for the dog to be able to get underneath it, and therefore, that is why you pay Nezek Shalem for the Charora. And we don't say that's also a unusual type of Karen damage. It would be Tom for Karen. The dog hasn't dug under three times yet, so you'd only be Tom for the Karen, and therefore you'd only pay half for the Harar. No, this is considered Urche, this is considered regular, and therefore this is considered Shane eating the Mokom Nizak, and therefore you pay full price for the Harar. Okay, that's what Rav Mori Breder of Kahana adds to our discussion. Mori says, the Achola Hecha. Now, where did the dog actually eat this charora, this piece of cake? If it went and ate it in somebody else's haystack, somebody else's pile of grain, in somebody else's property, so then the pasuk tells us, we've had this many times, so it has to be in the nizak's property. If you're telling me the Godish belongs to someone else, so then Vileka, you don't have, will be er b'steyacher. You didn't have that the destruction occurred in the Nizak's property, and therefore you shouldn't be chayiv for the eating of the Charora because you didn't eat it in the stay of the Nizak, you ate it in someone else's yard. And be er b'steyacher means that you caused the damage in the Nizak's area. So therefore, why would you be chayiv for the Charora in that situation? So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha the achola begodish the bal charora." No, we're dealing here with the godish. This pile of grain also belonged to the owner of the charora, and therefore it is considered to be b'steacher. It was considered that he was beer b'stei nizak, and therefore that's why you are in fact chayiv for the charora. As Rashi points out, if it was godish bi'alma, dibra maskul bi'godish alma, amai mishalim charora. Why would you pay for the charora in that situation? Or sheinu. Shane has to be in the soda of the Nizak, and therefore the Charora and the Godish were both owned by the same person. Okay, now the Gemara says, let us learn from here. Rashi says, Mishalim Charora, from the fact that we just said and pointed out that the owner of the Charora does get entitled to get the Baal Kelev to go pay him back full damages for the Charora. Let's learn from here the pi para, that the mouth of the cow who is doing damage and eating in the Nizak's backyard, or in our case, the dog, when he's doing the damage of eating this Charora, when the animal is doing the shade in the area of the Nizak, that the mouth of the para, the pi para, and we turn to Chof Gimel on the Beis, kichatzar ha-Nizak domi. That the mouth of the para is not considered the area of the mazik, but it is considered the chatzar of the nizak, even though it's the mouth, and technically the mouth of this para belongs to the owner of the para. So one might have said that this should be considered kechatzar hamazik, and you would be potter. So kamash v'lam tivshot mina. You can learn from our Gemara that the mouth of the para, pi paraso, is kechotzer ha-nizak dami. Even though it is the mouth of the mazik, it is considered still the chotzer of the nizak. Now, the Mepharshim explained, how else would you ever have thought of it? So they're talking here in a case where the dog or the cow put the chararo or the item that it's eating in its mouth and then left that area. So now, do we still consider it as it was originally in the chatzar of the nizak, or do we consider it now? It's now in the chatzar of the mazik when it eats it, and therefore should be potter. It's because it's no longer shein in the rishus of the nizak, and you don't fulfill ubiyer b'steacher. So bottom line is, we consider the mouth over here of the para, the mouth of the dog, to be chatzar ha-nizak. Because the e kechatzar hamazik dami. Because if you're telling me it's like the status of the mazik, it's like the chatzar of the mazik, so then Le Mole, the owner of the dog or the owner of the cow, would be able to say, Le Mole, my boy Riftoch Bepuma de Cowboy. What is your bread doing? What is this Charora doing in the mouth of my dog? Because this is now, if you were to say it's the chazter of the mazik, so then he wouldn't be chayv. He said, hey, keep your Charora out of my dog's mouth. So therefore, obviously that can't be. It is considered kechatzar nizak, which is what I would dare say 100% of the people would have said on their own anyway. But the Gemara is just posing this possible idea that you could have thought it's the chatzar of the mazik. So kamash v'lo, no, it's the chatzar of the nizak. Now, this was actually a question that was raised in the Beis Medrash. The Iboy Elu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, how do you view pi para? Do we say kechatzar nizak dami or kechatzar mazik dami? Which one is it? Do we view it as belonging to the mazik, the owner of the cow or the dog? Or no, it belongs still in the chatzar of the nizak status because that's where the animal is. So we've already answered it to show. We said, let us learn it from our Gemara. But here we're going to try to prove it from other places. The amris kechatzar mazik dami. The Gemara says, because if you want to tell me it's like the chatzar of the mazik, then how would you ever have a case of shein, the chayiv rachmana, hechemish kachasla? The Torah says you chayiv for shein. And the person eats in the chatzar of the nizak, so my property eats in a place where I didn't have the right to go. My cow went into your backyard and ate your payros. So the Torah says, I'm chayv nezek shalem, shein b'rishus hanizak. So therefore, it is an obligation that I have to pay. But if you're telling me that the mouth is the rishus of the mazik, then how would you ever have a case of shein that you'd be chayv in the Torah to pay? What would ever be the case? Because as soon as it puts it in its mouth, it left the chatzar of the nizak and it becomes the chatzar of the mazik. So you'd never have a case of shein. Where it says, no, you would. Amar Rav Mari, brother of Kahana. Again, we have another statement from Rav Mari, brother of Kahana. And he says as follows. Rav Mari, brother of Kahana, says that, in fact, you could have a case of shein in the Rishus of the Nizak, not with eating. But there are other types of shein. Kigon shenischachecho bakosel lihanosa. We said that shein is a description of an activity that the animal gets benefit from. So it doesn't have to be only eating benefit. If the animal scratches itself against the wall and knocks down the wall, so then in that situation, you have shein, which is benefit to the animal, the chatzar and nizak. The kosel is in the chatzar of the nizak, and here it's not in the mouth of the para, so there's no question of chatzar mazik. It's purely chatzar nizak. So this would be what the Torah means when it says that you're chayit for shein in the chatzar of the nizak. It's not eating. In fact, eating, you wouldn't be chai because maybe it's chatzar mazik. But it's talking about when you're scratching yourself, the animal scratching itself against the wall, it knocks down the wall. Alternatively, the tinfor peiros lianosa. The animal had to go to the bathroom. It gets hanoah from going to the bathroom, and it destroyed the guy's peiros. Now, instead of having nice, pure fruits, he has defecated on fruits. And the animal got pleasure out of this defecation. And the person whose fruits it was in his chatzar. So this would be a case of shein b'chatzar nizak. But you're right, Taka. If it was eating, it would be chatzar mazik, maybe. So Gemara says, no. Maskev lo mazutra. Mazutra said, that's incorrect. V'ha bo'inan, the pasuk says, we had this pasuk earlier on Daf Gimel, and the pasuk from Melachim Aleph tells us, Kasha Yivar HaGolol Atumo, that in order for there to be beer, this is one of the ways that we knew what beer was. So Kasha Yivar HaGolol Atumo, it means that it has to be totally destroyed. That just like a tooth totally consumes, totally eats up the food, so too any type of shein damage has to be a full destruction. Now, in the case that you just gave us, the two cases where Mari Breather of Kahana that you just gave us, Kigon Shidishacha, Bakosala, and also, so he knocked the wall down, but it's not totally gone. And he defecated on the peros and ruined them, but they're not totally gone. So, Vileka, in this situation, you wouldn't have this description of Bier, Kashi Yavar Hagol, Atumo. So, Kasha on you, Rav Mari Breather of Kahana. So Ravina says, no, not Akasha. Ravina Omar, Dishof Tzalme. You could argue in the case of the Nischachlu Bakosel, it wasn't the damage to the wall. There was a very, very fancy painting that was on the wall. He had hired an artist and built a beautiful mural on his wall, and now the cow came and destroyed the mural by going and rubbing against it. So that was a total destruction of the mural. We're not talking about the destruction of the wall. You're right. If you knocked the wall down, there would still be pieces of the wall left. There wouldn't be total destruction. But the mural, the picture that was on the wall, the Shaft Salme, he rubbed out the picture that was on the wall. Oh, that's a total destruction. So that could be what Rabbi Brother Kana was talking about. Alternatively, Rav Ashi Amar, the Pase Pasue. Rashi explains, Kishin is Galgala Peros, when the animal was either rolling on the Peros or defecating on the Peros, whatever it was doing over there, it pushed the Peros into the ground. Kishin is Galgala Peros, Toch Voson Batit. The Evshol Lakdon, he pushed him so deep into the mud that you can no longer get him out from there. So it is a total destruction. So therefore, the cases of Ramari Breder of Kana are in fact examples of Kasha Yavara Gol Atumo, and therefore there is no problem in saying Shane in the Torah in Rishus and Nizak, where do you have it if you're telling me that the mouth is considered Rishus HaMazik? No, we do have two cases where you have Shane, Rishus and Nizak. So maybe again you could argue that the mouth Pi Parah is in fact Chatzar Amazik, and therefore we need another proof. So Toshma, we have the following case. Shiso Es HaKelev. Now here a person is going, this is a Mishnah that we have in Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah there says, if a person goes and incites his dog to go and bite somebody, or Shiso Bo Es HaNochosh, he incites a Nochosh to go and bite somebody. In that situation, the person who did this incitement, he egged on the dog, he egged on the Nochosh to go and bite somebody, Potter. The person is going to be Potter from any damages that that dog or the Nochosh did to the other person. Now, why? Man Potter. Who should be Potter over here? If you're telling me, Mishasa Potter, V'chayev Balakelev, are you telling me over here that the one who incited the dog, he is Potter from any paying any damages? But the dog's owner is Chayev. After all, his dog went and bit somebody. The owner of the Nochosh, his Nochosh, he's Chayev. If it was owned by somebody, so then he would go and have to pay. But the Mishasa, the one who incited him, doesn't have to pay. So then, if that's what you're going to tell me is the case, so then the Amris Kichatzer Hamazik Domi. But wait a second. If you were to hold that the Shane is considered the Chatzer of the Mazik and not the Chatzer of the Nizak, so now when this dog went and bit this man, so the owner of the dog can say, hey, you shouldn't put your hand in my dog's mouth. If you're telling me that the dog's mouth, the Nochash's mouth, the cow's mouth, is considered chatzar hamazik. So Yemar is chatzar hamazik dummy. Lay malay, let the owner of the dog in our case in the Mishnah Sanhedrin say, my boy yotka, the pume the cowboy. What's your hand doing in my dog's mouth? After all, your hand is now in the rishos of the mazik. You don't have a right to be in my rishos. In a classical case where another cow comes into my backyard and my cow gores your cow in my backyard, so I have the right to say, what's your cow doing in my backyard? Of course my cow might gore you. So therefore, I'm Potter in that situation. So then theoretically, he would be able to say, the Bala Kelev, that what's your hand doing in my dog's mouth? Obviously, the Mishnah doesn't say that. And therefore, the owner of the dog is in fact Chayev. So Kasha on our idea that you could say that the dog's mouth is Kechatzar HaMazik. Oh, here's the Raya, that the dog's mouth, the Pipara, is Kechatzar HaNizok. Or it says, not so fast. Maybe when we said that your potter, when we said in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, Shisa Bo Es HaKelev, or Shisa Bo Es HaNochosh, potter, it meant not only is the Baal Kelev Potter, because it's Rishus HaMazik, his mouth is Rishus of the Mazik, so Eimar Potter Af Mishasa. The Chiddush over there is that not only is the Baal Kelev Potter, because the mouth is considered Rishus HaMazik, but even the Mishasa is Potter. Maybe that's what it's telling us. Alternatively, Vibay Seimar, the Afke Ledive Visarte. What you could be talking about where the dog didn't bite him. The dog scratched him with its teeth. And therefore, that's not in the mouth. The teeth are outside the mouth. And therefore, he scratched the person. And that's what caused the damage. And therefore, that's definitely the Rishus of the Nizak that this happened. And you can't say, well, the mouth is the Rishus of the Mazik. That may be true. And here, the teeth are outside the mouth, right? The dog has canines that are outside the mouth. And he scratched the person outside the mouth. And that's why you chayev there, the Bala Kelev. So again, we're stuck. We don't have a proof yet that P. Parasla is in fact the Rishus of the Nizak and not the Rishus of the Mazik. Again, we all know it's the Rishus of the Nizak. We're just looking for a proof. So we try again. Toshma. We have the following case. Here, Hishich. Before we had Shisa. Here we have Hishich. The guy goes and takes this snake and he actually puts the mouth of the snake on the guy's hand. Hishich boas anochosh. He takes the teeth, the fangs of this snake, and he pushes them into the person. So he kills this person. It's a poisonous snake. He takes this cobra. Don't ask me how he's holding it. He takes it and he puts it onto the hand of the person, and he, so to say, forces the teeth of this cobra, of this poisonous snake, onto the person, and that's how the person dies. So in this situation, is this called murder or is it not called murder? So Rav Yehuda Mechayev, Rav Yehuda says, yeah, this is called murder. You directly kill this guy, you are chayev misa. The Chachamim say, no, this is a grama. The Chachamim potrim. The Chachamim say, no, you're certainly not a tzaddik. You're a terrible person. You're going to have to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Beis Din doesn't have the right to give you misas Beis Din. Now, on this machlokis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he said, Kishatim Silomar, if you're going to look at this case over here, Ledivri Rav Yehuda, Erez Nochosh Ben Shinov, who Omed. According to Rav Yehuda, why did he say Yechayev? Because he said that the snake did nothing over here. The poison is already out. The poison is on the teeth. This person basically took a knife with poison on it and stabbed the guy. He took the teeth, the fangs of the snake, which already has the poison on it. The snake did nothing. The snake is totally passive here. And this guy took the fangs of the snake and pressed them into the person. The poison is already out. And therefore, that's why this is murder, according to Rav Yehuda. So that's what Rav Yehuda's sheet is. And therefore, Lefikach, this is exactly analogous to as if the person did, as I just said, Lefikach Makish Besayev. It's no different than if you took a sword and stabbed the guy and killed him. And therefore, the Nochosh Potter, the Nochosh is totally passive. It contributed nothing over here. And therefore, the Nochosh isn't put to death, right? There's a din that if an animal goes and gores a shor in his skull and kills somebody, so you have to put the shor to death. So here, there is no chiyuv to go put the Shor HaNiskal, there is no Nochosh HaNiskal over here. There is no Chiyuv to go and kill the Nochosh because this person did the murder 100%. That's Rav Yehuda Shita. Now, according to Chachamim, who say, no, Potrim, so Levi Chachamim, so Eres Nochosh Me Atzmo Meki. The venom, the poison on the teeth of the Nochosh only comes out because the Nochosh bites down. And therefore, the Nochosh has to go and participate here. And the person, therefore, is not the murderer. It still is the poison of the Nochosh. So yes, in Shamayim, he's going to get klep. However, Beis Din doesn't have a right to kill him. Lefikach, in this situation, the Nochosh is like a Shor HaNiskal, and Nochosh Meskila, and you have to go and kill the Nochosh. However, Umakish, the guy that put the fangs of the Nochosh on the guy's arm and pressed down, so he's not chayev misas Beis Din, umakish potter. So that's how Rav Acha Bar Yaakov explains the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Now, how is this a proof to our case over here of, do we say Pi Para is the Rishus of the Nizak or the Rishus of the Mazik? So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me the Amris Pi Para Kechatzer HaMazik, tell me if you're going to say, like this very strange opinion, to suggest that the mouth of the Para is considered the Chatzer of the Mazik, and therefore you could say, hey, what are your fruit doing in my cow's mouth? What is your Harara doing in my dog's mouth? And therefore, the Baal Para or the Baal Caliph should be Potter, if you want to say that, so then Lay Malay, then the owner of the snake should be able to tell the Beis Din, listen, what was this guy's hand doing? My boy Yodcha Bepuma De Chevoy, what was your hand doing in the mouth of my snake? If you're telling me that the mouth, the pee of the para, of the kelev, of the nachash, is considered the rishus of the mazik, so then, hey, if you come into my backyard and you fall into a pit, I'm not chayiv. If you get gored by my ox, I'm not chayiv. You had no right to be in my property. So your hand had no right to be in my property, my nachash's mouth. And therefore, if you're telling me that the mouth, pee para, is really the chatzar of the mazik, so then, what's your hand doing in my Nochosh's mouth? What's your fruits doing in my cow's mouth? Ah, so this seems to be a good proof versus Lav Tavka. This is a unique din in regards to Ketola, lenient Ketola, Lo Aminan. In regards to capital crime, we don't say that it's the Rishus of the Mazik, but maybe in regards to Nizakin, in regards to damages, we still could say that Pi Para is Kirishus HaMazik. And how do I know that there's a difference between ketola, between a capital crime, and between financial nezik type of damages? Uminot tamer, where do I know that from? Because we have a brisa that says so beferish. Detanya, hanichnas lechatzar balabais. If somebody goes into the chatz of the balabais without permission, shelo birishus. So somebody enters into a chatzar of someone else without permission. And that guy, he goes into the guy's corral without permission, and guess what? He gets gored by an ox over there. And Nebuch, the poor guy, is killed, but he went there without permission. He went into a corral, the bull killed him, and what's the din? So, Hashar b'skila u'bolim p'tur min ha-kofer. It says b'feirish that in that situation, you do give skila to the shar. It is a shar in iskal. However, the owner doesn't have to pay any damages to the family, to the yorshim of this person, because he had no right to be there. Now, if you're telling me b'olim p'tur min ha-kofer, my time, why should the balim be parted from the kofer? Because they can say, what is your guy doing in my yard where my cow is, where my bull is? D'amalei b'rishusi, my boys, what are you doing in my courtyard? Now, if you can say that for the financial claims, you should be able to say that as well for the Shor HaNiskal claim. So, Shor Nami, you should be able to say the Shor HaNiskal Nami, he should be able to say, why are you killing my Shor? Lemalei, my boys b'rishusi, why did you come into my backyard? My ox is going to gore you and kill you. So you had no right to come there. So I don't have to pay you, but I shouldn't have to have a shor in niskal. Ella what? The din is, as the Brisa states, the shor is niskal. Ella lini ketola lo amrina. So we see that you don't argue about the rishus of the mazik in regards to the shor in niskal aspect. In regards to the damages in Izakin, yeah, in the rishus of mazik yipater. But in regards to capital ketola, in this situation, you can't say, well, it was in the rishus of mazik and you don't kill the shor. No, the shor is a shor in niskal. So to over here, with the nachash, the nachash, even though it's his mouth is the rishus of the owner of the nachash, but in regards to ketola, we don't say that. And therefore, in that situation, you would in fact be chayiv. The nachash is like a shor haniskal, and the nachash is killed. But the financial damages, you don't have to pay because it's of the rishus of the mazik. And we're left with our original question. So the Gemara says, what about the following maisa? Hanu Ize the Bay Tarbu. The ones were some goats that were owned by a certain family known as the family of Tarbu. That was their name. Now, what did they do? The Habu Mafside Leila Rav Yosef. They would run wild and they would go damage the property of Rav Yosef. Now he was very unhappy about this. So Amaleila Abayi, so he went to tell his Talmud Abayi, go tell these Tarbu family people, Zil Emolahu, go tell them, Limarayu, the owners of these goats, this Tarbu family, the Litzinu, that they should go and keep watch on their goats, that they shouldn't go and destroy my property. Now, for whatever the reason, Abaye didn't want to go. So Abaye was afraid of this Tarbu family. Amalei, Amayaza, what purpose will it serve for me to go? You know what this Tarbu family is going to say? Even if I do go, the Azilna, if I go over there and tell them, please watch your goats, you know what they're going to tell me? Omri Li, they're going to tell me back, Lidormar, Gedera Biare, let you, Rav Yosef, go put up a fence around your property, and then my goats won't damage your property. But if you don't put up a fence, it's your problem, not my problem. Again, Tosus points out over here that Abaye, for whatever the reason, didn't want to go to this type of family to tell him that. In any event, the Gemara says, if in fact Abaye's argument would be correct, then we have the problem. If you say that the responsibility is for the person to go protect his own field by putting up a fence around it, so then Shane, so how would you ever have a case of being chayiv for Shane? Because you could always argue, hey, you should have protected your field better. So the Gemara says, no. Kisha Chosra. Again, we're dealing with it tunneled under. So if the animal, even would they be able to tunnel under, that is still considered a proper shmira. So then that would be the case with the animal tunneled under and it did damage. Alternatively, Inami, the Nothul Guda Belelya. Or if we're talking here about a case where he did fence his property in, but the fence fell down and he didn't know it. The animal entered when he didn't know that the fence was down, and therefore he is not expected to stay up all night and look to see if his fence is up. So he did a proper Shmira, the fence fell down, and the animal entered and ate. So then that would be a case of Shane that you'd be chayev from the Torah. Now, we didn't come to a conclusion over here about whether the Pipara, we didn't come to another conclusion, whether the Pipara is the Rishus of the Nizak or Rishus of the Mazik. So therefore, Tiff showed, we learned it out from our Gemara, that was the case where we proved that the Pipara is always considered the Rishus of the Nizak, as the Mefarshim point out, even if the animal left the yard and ate it outside the yard, it still is considered in the Rishus of the Nizak. Gemara concludes over here before the Mishnah and says, Machriz of Yosef, Yosef announced, other saves, Itamar Rabbah, it was his Barpukta Rabbah, and he announced, the Salkin Le'ela, those people that are going up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, or Udenachsen that go down, Le'tachtor, or that are coming down from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, we always say we go up to Eretz Yisrael, make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael should be safe and always on our thoughts and our minds. We always go up to Eretz Yisrael. All of us desire Libi B'Mizrach. We all want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We all want to be part of the holy nation of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. So in any event, either Rabbah or Rav Yosef said that everybody should know those people are going from Eretz Yisrael to Babel to learn there, and those people going from Babel to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Hani izay deshuko demasidei. If you have goats that are in the chotzer of people and causing damage, so masridan b'morayu trei utlosu zimnim. We go and warn the owners, hey, your animals are causing damage. Your goats are causing damage. And if they listen, fine. Tzai is great, so that they protect their animals from doing damage, so from fine. But if they don't, they eat low. If the goat owners aren't careful, so then Amrina lay. So the basin has the right to go and say, Tiv Amsachta V'Kabel Zuzach. We're going to put them into the butcher's store, and we're going to shech them, and you can get the money for what they're worth. Because if these, Tosus points out, if these are animals that are eventually going to be for Shechita anyway. So we're going to shech them next month. We're going to wait till the regel. And there are certain days of the year, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, in other places where they would bedavka go and shecht, and you had the right to normally not be concerned about also the espino. You didn't have to worry that maybe the mother was shechted the same day as the child, the animal is shechted. So in that situation, you didn't have to normally ask. But on those days, Erev Yontif, where so many people are shechting meat, you have to ask, is the mother been shechted of this animal? Is the child of this animal been shechted? So in that situation, you do have to be concerned about that. So it's much more profitable to go and shecht at that time when there's much bigger demand, supply and demand. Whereas on a regular day, if you go shecht an animal, they may not be in refrigeration. They'd have to salt the animals, and maybe it wouldn't be worth as much. So maybe the owner wouldn't want to go shecht it. So here, we can force this little loss upon an animal that for the owner of the animal. So it would be worth $100 if you waited until the regal. It's only worth $75 now. So yeah, we can say, your animal is causing damage. We're going to shecht your animal now. Here's the money, and you take that loss of that $25 in my example. But Tosus points out, if this animal was in fact not kaima l'shchita, in Dibra Matzah Hano Ize, so he says, Dafka behano the kaima l'shchita. That's only when they would be shechted anyway. If the animal's damaged in other people's property, they'd have to pay for them. So Tosus says over here, Be'afogav sheyishalu mashazik, even though these goats are going to have to go pay for the damage that they do, that's a tircha for the person to go and get involved in litigation. He has to get a lawyer. He has to go bring it to court. He has to prove the damages. And only then does he get paid. So loy boile mekum badayu ladina. Nobody wants to go through this trouble. So therefore, likewise, vizimna nami delekusadi. Him and I have proof that the animals did the damage. So therefore, the basin has the right to go and shech these animals. However, Basin doesn't have the right if it's Aval Eiz L'chalava, if it's a milk goat, or V'rochel L'gizasa, or it was a sheep, we're using it for shearing, it's a wool sheep. So Yochel Omar, so then the owner has the right to say, listen, I wasn't planning on shechting this animal. So if my animal does damage, Kishi Yazik, so Ishalim, I will go and pay for it, but you don't have the right to go and take it from me and go and shecht it. So, and that was the case. Kide Ashechon Gabi Izi Debei Tarbo. That exactly was the case. Maybe that's why Abaye didn't want to go. Because he didn't want to deal with these people. And that's why Rav Yosef told Abaye, go tell them to protect their animals, to watch their animals, rather than saying, I'm going to go shecht your animals, because they were not for shechita, they were going to be for milking. Okay, so in any event, here we see an important principle that the basin has the right to go and cause this person to stop having his animals go in damage if he doesn't take their warnings seriously. Okay, now we introduce, finally, a Mishnah that tells us what is the definition of a tam and what is the definition of a mu'ud. We've been discussing it already for 22 dafim as a short tam for the dinim of Karen. So what's a short tam and what's a short mu'ud? So ezu tam ve'ezu mu'ud. What is the definition of a short tam and a short mu'ud? So the Mishnah tells us mu'ud, the Tanakhama's opinion, is Rabbi Yehuda, that a mu'ad is kol shehe'idu bo shlosh yomim. 3 days in a row, it gored. Notice he says 3 days, not three times. So it gored on Sunday, it gored on Monday, it gored on Tuesday. Now you have a shor mu'ud. And if it gores on Wednesday, it has to pay full damages. Until then, it only paid chatzi nezek as a shor tam. The tam, when does it return to become a tam after it was declared to be a mu'ud? Mishayachzer bo shlosh yomim. So it gored on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, boom, it's a mu'ud. But now, it did not gore on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so now it returns to the status of being a tam. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir Omer, mu'ud shehi idu bo shlosha pa'amim. It's called a mu'ud if it did it 3 times. Lav dafka on 3 days. It gored Sunday at 10 o'clock. It gored Sunday at 11 o'clock. It gored Sunday at noon. So in that situation, Rabbi Meir says it's a mu'ud because it gored 3 times. More will explain what the difference is between Rehuda and Rebeir. The tam, and when does it restore its status of being a tam? If the little children, don't ask me why anybody let the little children go play there, but the little children went there and went played with this shor mu'ud, and it didn't gore them. No, that proves that it's no longer a shor mu'ud, and it is now back to having the status of a shor tam. That's our Mishnah. Mara says, my time of the Rehuda. Where does Rehuda get that it has to gore 3 days and not 3 times like Rameyer? So Amar Bayabai explains Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because the Pasuk says, oh, no da, kishor nagahu mitimol shilshom. And then, below Yishmeru Bolov. So how do we dash in the Pasuk? According to Abai, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tamal tells us 1 time, chad. But it didn't say the lashon of tamal, it said mi tamal. So we actually darshan 2 from the word mi tamal, 1 from the word tamal, and 1 from mi tamal. So that's trey. So that's 2 times that we know the shor has to be minagech before it's called yishalim bol of nez shalim. And then the 3rd time is shilshom. So by using this lashon of mi tamal shilshom, it means it has to gore 3 times, and only then, if the owner doesn't watch it carefully, then also l'negicha revius. When it goes and gores the 4th time, then shalem yishalem. Ah, that is Rav Yehuda Shita. 3 times turns it into a mu'ud. On the 4th time, you are now paying full damages as a mu'ud. Alternatively, Rava says no. Rava mar t'mol means mitmol. No difference. Whether t'mol, mitmol, that's 1 chad. Shilshom, when it says mitmol, shilshom, so then trade, that's the 2nd time. And only after 2 times, it becomes a shor mu'ud. Now, on the 3rd time that it gores, it's going to have to go and be a shor mu'ud and pay nezek shalim. So, the difference between Abai and Rava is Abai says it becomes a shor mu'ud only after 3 negichos. On the 4th time, you pay nezek shalim, whereas Rava says it becomes a shor mu'ud after 2 negichos. On the 3rd one, you pay nezek shalim. In any event, that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that says it has to be 3 days, not 3 times that it gores, but it gores over 3 days, or according to Rava, it would be 2 days. Okay, on the 3rd day, it becomes, according to Rava, a shor mu'ud. On the 4th day, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it becomes a shor mu'ud. Now, what is Rabbi Meir's reasoning? Rabbi Meir, my timer that he says that it's just 3 times, it could be Sunday at 10, Sunday at 11, Sunday at noon, now, boom, it's a shor mu'ud. For Rameh, my time, eh? So, the Tanya, because we learn the following brisa. Amr Rameh, return to Chavdal and Aleph. Rameh brings an analogy from the dinim of a Zav and a Zava. So, Rameh says, Richeg Nigichosov Chayev. If the bull, if the shor, were to go and damage on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Chayev, you're telling me that it's a shor mu'ud at that point in time, and on the 4th time or on the 3rd time, like Rava, it would have to go and pay nezek shalem. So certainly, kirav negichosav lo koshekein. So if it did it all on Sunday at 10 and 11 at noon, so then certainly it should be a shor mu'ud. So that's Rabbi Meir's understanding. Amulei, they said, no, let's bring a raya from the dinim of zava and zav. Now just to give you a little background. A woman, in order to become a zava, has to have discharges during the 11-day period when she's what's called Yemei Ziva, the potential to have Ziva. So she has to have discharges on 3 separate days. If she has discharges on the same day 3 times, that doesn't do it. She has to have a discharge on Sunday, a discharge on Monday, and a discharge on Tuesday for her to be a Zava Gedola. So, and all the dinim of Zava then apply to her. So the opinion of Rav Meir is argued upon by the Chachamim, by Rabbi Yehuda, who say, Amulei, they said to Rav Meir in this brisa, Zava Tochiach, will show you that you're incorrect, by saying if Rechek Nichosav Chayiv, certainly Kiruv Nichosav Kol Kosher, okay? Because Azaba shows that that's not true. Sherechakar Rioseha Tmeya. If she sees Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, then she becomes Azaba Gedola. But Kareva Rioseha, she saw all three Rios on Sunday, Torah, she's not. And that doesn't mean she's fully Torah. She has to be Shomer Yom Kineged Yom. I'm not going into all those dinim right now, but she doesn't have to have Zayin Nikim. She doesn't have a full Zava Gedola status. So this goes against your saying Rechek Nigichos of Chayev. So certainly Kiruv Nichos Lo Koshke. No, by a Zava, you have to have them spread out over 3 days. If you have them all on the same day, you're not going to be Temeya as a Zava Gedola. So what does Rebbe respond to that? So he tells him, Amalhan, Harei Omer, Vizos Tie Tumaso Vizovo. But by a man, it's different. By a man, if he has three discharges on the same day, he does become a Zav Gadol. So, Tola HaKosev Es HaZav B'Rios, Es HaZav B'Yomim. No, the man is where I get my proof from, that if the man would have Rios on 3 days in a row, he certainly becomes Tame as well. But if he has all three on one day, he also becomes Tame. So here's where I get Rechek Nigosel Chayiv. So certainly, Kiruv Nigosel Lo Kosher Kein. And this is from the Zos Tiet Tumaso B'Zavo. So the Torah tells us by the Zav, it just depends on the Rios. They can all be on the same day, whereas by the Zav, by the woman, has to be on 3 separate days. No, how do you know this? Mimai, the high Vizos, Mute, Zav, and Rios. How do you know that the word Vizos, only by the Zav can the Rios be on the same day, and by a Zavah, by a woman, it has to be on 3 separate days? How do you know that that's true? Emo, Lemute, Zav, Miyamim. Maybe it comes to teach us that the Zav is not going to be a Zav if he has the discharges on 3 separate days. Maybe that wouldn't make him into a Zav. It has to be on the same day. So Gemara says, no, because the pasuk says, Amakrav, Vazav Ezovo, La Zachar, Vilana Keva, because it says that the Zav is compared to the dinim of a Zava. And make your Zachal in a Keva, Mana Keva Biyamim, Av Zachal Biyamim. So the man has both Rios on the same day or Rios on 3 separate days. Gemara says, why not make the comparison the other way? Velekish Nekeva LaZachar, to tell us, Ma Zachar B'Rios, Av Nekeva Rios. So then why don't we say that just like the man, if he sees 3 Rios on the same day, so to the woman, if she sees 3 Rios on the same day, she should become a Zav Gadol, just like the man is a Zav Gadol. So Torah says, no. Ha-Miyat Rachmana, Vizos. The word Vizos is a Miyat. So this is the din. And therefore, the din is only by the male that it's on 3 of the same day or on 3 separate days. And by the woman, it's only if it's on 3 separate days, but she doesn't become a Zav Gadol if she sees 3 Rios on the same day. No. Why did you learn it this way? Why did you learn it this way? You could have learned it the other way and say that it applies to the woman both the same day or 3 separate days, and the man, it only applies on the same day. So Gemara says, Mistabra doesn't make sense to learn it that way. It makes sense to learn it the way that we said, that it applies to the man on the same day and on 3 consecutive days. And for the woman, it only is on 3 consecutive days, but not on the same day. Mistabra koi b'rios memayit rios. Because it's talking about rios, so therefore it comes to exclude rios on the same day for the woman. Koi b'rios memayit yamim. Doesn't make any sense to say if it's talking about Rios, then it should say no, that if it's not on 3 consecutive days, then it's okay too. No, so it doesn't make sense to learn it that way. And therefore, the way that we learned it is the correct way. And therefore, this is Rav Meir's proof that Rechek Nigichosav Yochayev, so certainly Kirev Nigichosav, you're certainly going to be Chayev Lo Kol Shekei. And the proof is from a male Zav, but if he sees on 3 consecutive days, he's Chayev. And certainly if he sees on 3 times on the same day, he's Chayev. So too, the Shor, if it gores on 3 consecutive days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's a Shor Muad. And certainly then, if it gores on Sunday at 10 and 11 and at noon, it's certainly also going to be a Shor Muad. That is Rav Meir's Shita. So we have Rav Yehuda, we have Rav Meir. Mitzvah Shem will pick this discussion up tomorrow, where we'll have further details about this Machlokas. Everyone should have a great day.